This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Tuesday, May 6th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And well, I hope you all had a glorious Monday. Obviously, it was BG Day on 94 WIP, and what an awesome day it was. Like, I was looking forward to it. There were so many stories I heard throughout the day that I just had never heard, and that's pretty crazy when you consider Brandon Graham has been doing interviews for his entire career, and especially over the past year or two, a lot of like interviews about his career and, you know, sharing different things. So really cool stories from Lurie. BG told a really cool story about him and Howie talking outside of a locker room in Miami. LeSean McCoy had some good stuff. It was just an awesome day talking about a player that, in my opinion, is on the Eagles' Mount Rushmore. I just don't see how you make a Mount Rushmore of Eagles and not put the guy that's played in the most games, that won two Super Bowls, that's third all times in sacks, that means so much to the city. I just don't see how you don't put him in your top four. And I think the ultimate compliment you can give to Brandon is that he started his career as a bust and ended it as a better all-time Eagle than Reggie White. I mean, that's pretty wild. You want to talk about a career turnaround. That is pretty cool. So what I wanted to do for today's pod is just go into and play for you guys a lot of the interviews that we had on Monday about Brandon Graham. I just think they're all worth listening to. It's a slow time in the offseason anyway. So we're going to have some interviews from LeSean McCoy, Nick Sirianni, Chris Long. The Lurie interview is already in the feed. So we're going to have a bunch of interviews for you guys. So enjoy it. Enjoy it. Be happy Brandon Graham's an Eagle. And I think the station did an awesome job honoring him. So let's play some of those interviews, and I'll catch you guys on the other side.
Joining us next to talk about Brandon Graham, a guy that had a chance to watch him become a great leader in Philadelphia. And before him, he was a great leader in Philadelphia. Brian Dawkins joins the Midday Show right now. Hey, Brian.
Hey, what's happening, gentlemen? How y'all doing?
All right, and you, man. How you been, man? I ain't talked to you in a while.
I'm good, dog. I'm good, man. You, what was the first thing that I asked you? Do you remember the first time I asked you about when you told me it's going to be a BG day?
Oh, yeah. Talk about us on Single de Mayo, we're going to do crack jokes or something. It's a roast.
Does he speak a lick of Spanish, man?
Oh, yeah. No, he does not. But I told you, remember I told you, I said we just changed because it's a play on 5-5, May 5th. 5-5.
No, I can dig it. What's y'all got for me?
Doc, what was it like for you watching the career of Brandon Graham and really watching him become a leader and a guy that you know, moved up the charts all time in the most games played ever here in Philadelphia?
Yeah, if you go back to the post that I posted, you know, when he decided to retire, and it talked about the story that's going to be told about a smallish defensive end that was considered to be a bust by many, who have gone on to be, you know, one of the legends to play in Philadelphia and to be known for the sack. Y'all know what I'm talking about. The script, the sack. So to me, that speaks the volumes to any of young people out there who are ascribing to be something, that, you know, just because you start off a specific way. And he also talked about it, his own story, about his mind changing. So his mindset changed about what he needed to do to be better than he was the first couple of years. And then that's when it happened. He became BG, the smiling assassin.
I like that nickname from you. That's a good one.
That's pretty cool. But Brian, my question is this, because we know, and I was a part of when you left Philadelphia and you went to Denver, and I know for a fact you never wanted to leave. So what does it say to you, or how does it make you feel when you know that BG played here for 15 seasons?
Well, I love it for him. I absolutely, and that's the way it's supposed to be, in my opinion, when you have a person to play the way that he's played and love the city the way he loves it and is willing to stay around and do what he needs to do from that standpoint in the community as well. That's the way it's supposed to be. And I wish it would have happened. A couple of years prior, but it did. But for BG, I'm just so happy that it's happened for him, because he's also such a good dude, man. Good dude.
Brian, what does it tell you about a player that, and you did it too, that plays that long? Like, what does it take? What did it take for you? What do you think it took for him? Because it's just so rare. I mean, obviously, Hugh mentioned he played his whole career here, but just the longevity, whether it's here or anybody anywhere else. What is that like to last in the NFL that long? It's so rare. I mean, the average career is what, 3-4 years? I mean, you lasted 16, Brandon lasted 15. What does that say about a player when they can go that far into their career?
Wow. I mean, obviously, there's some gifts in there as well, right? We're gifted to be able to do things, play the game a specific way with talents and the like. But it also, you have to take care of your body, man. That's one thing that I was very keen on, taking care of my body. The way that I still lift today is because I took care of my body when I was playing the game back then. And BG's a similar way, man. He takes care of himself. And then also, I would say that there's a routine that you get into, that you know you have to do things a specific way in the off season. There is no off season for someone who's playing in the National Football League, in my opinion, because you always in a mindset that you have to continue to stay working, stay moving. Even when you're resting, it has to be an active rest, the way that I see it. And to me, that's one of the things that you would see BG constantly working on his body, what he puts in his body for the most part. And to me, if you look at the guys who play long periods of time, that would be across the board. A guy's knowing how to work, knowing how to recover properly, and knowing how to take care of the body.
Brian Dawkins joining us here on the Midday Show on Brandon Graham Day 5-5. It is Cinco de Mayo. We're going to be celebrating Brandon Graham all day here.
He don't speak a lick of Spanish.
That's
either.
All right. You know what? Today we all do. We should ask if we see him tonight. Brandon, be real. You speak any Spanish? Brian, let's go back to this past year with the Eagles doing what they did and winning the Super Bowl. What was it like for you to watch the year that Brandon had? Because when the year started, I mean, we didn't know how much he was going to play. We knew he was coming back for his last season, but the Eagles had signed Bryce Huff, and they had drafted Nolan Smith and Jay Alexander. We weren't sure, like, was he just going to play a little bit? But boy, Brian, he was still a huge part of the defense. Then he gets hurt, and he comes back, and he plays in the Super Bowl. I mean, what a story in his final year on top of everything else.
Man, you couldn't have written it no better. Like, seriously, drama right at the end. Oh, he's hurt. Oh, no, it's over for him. And all of a sudden, he rises back up, plays in the last game, and they win the Super Bowl. So now he rides off into the into the sunset, right? I mean, you can't write it any better. But as far as the season is concerned, man, it would be one thing if we had seen Brandon not being able to, you know, be BG, right?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't see that. I didn't see. Did you see it?
I was a little jealous because he. He was balling. Hey, against the Rams. Hey, he was balling against the Rams. Now I was like, damn, wish I could do that.
Yeah, so you see what I'm saying? So it was there. Like, and you heard Vic even say it. Like, you know, I'm not I guess he was joking around. You know, I'm not going to let you retire because you're still so productive. So again, it wasn't like he couldn't do it. So for him to get hurt, and you know, I thought it might have been over as well. But there was some chirps that he would be able to come back. And so I'm happy that he was able to come back. And even though he tore it again, but it don't matter. They won the ring.
Brian, watching him both closely and from afar, what do you think made him such a good leader? Because everyone we've talked to today and every one of his teammates that chimed in the last few months after his announcement, they all seem to point to not just a really good player for a long time, but also someone that just made the team better just by his personality and being around. What do you think made him such a good leader?
One thing I would say is I don't think BG has ever had a bad day. Like, when you walk in, like, his smile, and I'm not talking about the first couple of years. First couple of years, there are a lot of bad days, I guess. But after that, going into the transformation into the person that we're talking about now, like, he's always upbeat, always smiling. Even when things are not the way that he would want them to be, he still have a positive mindset about it. And that's contagious, right? That type of person is contagious that you want to be around. And so he's also the type of dude in practice that, you know, he jokes all the time. And somebody on this phone or on this call right now used to joke all the time in practice too. And what that does, though, it lightens the mood. Like, even though you're grinding and grinding things out, when you have guys around like that with those type of personalities, like, it lightens things up. And, you know, you don't feel the pain quite as much as you would. And then he was also someone that's very outspoken as it pertains to Steffi or asking someone what's going on, right? He's going to be the type of teammate that if he sees something going on, that he's going to, you know, come sit beside you and want to talk to, you know, see if he can help in some type of way. And that's always a great thing.
Well, it is, especially the light in the mood thing. I mean, I feel like you need that in the locker room.
It sounds like
you were the one doing that back in the day.
Well, no, we used to have fun, man. It was like, you know, it was we had a very, very unique locker room. And you know, you could tell stories about – see, Doc didn't say a whole lot during the week because he was too busy moving around like an old man. But, boy, when he put that helmet on, it was like Jekyll and Hyde, boy. Speaking of Jekyll and Hyde, dog, since we're here now. So who came up with the Hawaiian-themed Brian Dawkins Impact Golf Tournament thing? Who came up with that?
That was me, man.
So you just want us to wear Hawaiian? See, we got to wear Hawaiian shirts, Joe.
You have one ready to go?
Yeah, I got a couple of them. Okay. Hey, listen, I bought Tommy Bahama shirts years ago.
Just for this.
So listen.
Bring them out.
So when Ike told me, because you know, I barely pay attention to my email. I don't even open my email here at work. Ike said, yeah, man, it's a Hawaiian thing. I said, get out of town. I bought these shirts about 30 years ago. I'm going to go ahead and break one of these suckers out. But I can't wait to this golf tournament.
So let me give you the inside scoop on that. So the reason why I did it, you know, is because we who have gone to the Pro Bowl actually went across the water.
Uh-huh.
The Pro Bowl, right? And I remember the feeling of that. I remember of going to the Pro Bowl and, you know, going to the Ihalani. And the feeling of it, the vibe of the whole thing, the feeling of the whole event.
Yes.
And so I said, you know what? I want to see if I can allow people to escape and feel, give people a little bit of feeling of what we felt going to Hawaii, going to the Pro Bowl. So that's really where the theme came in. And that's what the event is going to be about. We're going to try our best to kind of put things around the compound to allow people to escape. From their daily walks to be able to come experience what the food and the atmosphere was that I felt at the Pro Bowl.
So there will be a lay at the golf tournament?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to get a lay.
Okay.
Get a couple of them.
All right, Hugh. You got the Hawaiian shirt, you got the lei, the luau, and you got the golf. Brian, it's coming up on June 1st and 2nd, right? The Penn Oaks
June
Golf Club?
June 1st and 2nd. Yep. And there's still tickets available for the island feel is what we call
the island feel. Together.
The island feel.
The island
feel. I like that. Man. Good stuff. Brian, we appreciate you as always. Have a great rest of your day. And thank you for being part of the Brandon Graham Day here on WIP.
Absolutely. Y'all be blessed, man.
Hey, have a good one,
there
man.
He goes. Dawkins with us. Brian Dawkins.
So WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. BG Day, the BG Live pre-party at the Great American Pub in Phoenixville, brought to you by Miller Lite. Joining us now, the first coach to ever win the Super Bowl as coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, Coach Doug Peterson, joins us now for BG Day. Coach, thank you for giving us some of your time today.
Oh, you bet. You bet. I'm honored to call in and talk a little bit about BG.
Dougie P, what's up, brother?
What is going on, man?
You know what, Doug? Jack and I were talking earlier. We never think about the fact that you and Ike were actually teammates for a year. Do you have any, before we get to BG? Do you have any Ike memories as the player, Ike?
Ike was a stud, man. He was obviously a great linebacker, good special teams player, just an all around great teammate, man. We had some good. Didn't have a great year that first year, but man, we had some fun times.
We did, Coach. I appreciate the kind words. Don't let them bait you into telling you anything.
Well, you never know. You know.
I'll keep it above board.
for now. So, yeah. Coach, you know, do you still, you know, you as part of the you know, legendary team, the first Eagles team to win the Super Bowl, do you still run into Eagles fans here and there? And if so, like, what is that experience like for you?
You know, living down here in Jupiter, Florida, there's a ton of Eagle fans around this city and around this part of the country down here. And whether, you know, playing golf or just out in the community having dinner, you're always going to run into an Eagles fan or somebody that's visiting down here. And they're obviously very appreciative of that first Super Bowl. And they bring up a lot of great memories. In fact, my wife and I were just in Philadelphia this past weekend for a wedding, and we stayed downtown there, and it was fun. It was fun to run into a lot of fans, and people remembered that first one, and you feel proud, you feel honored to have represented that city and that organization to get them that championship, and it's very special to me.
What was it like for you, Coach, to watch this team this past year? Obviously, they went to the Super Bowl a couple years ago and lost to Kansas City. But watching this team this year, Saquon being here, watching Jalen have the year he had, did you draw anything from watching this team this year win it to the way you guys did it back in 17?
Yeah, you know, obviously I brought the Jaguars there, I think, in week three this past year and played an Eagles team that we felt early in the season, if you're going to beat this team, you got to beat them early. And they ultimately, you know, won that game that day. But, you know, I saw the improvement watching them all season long and how Jalen really, I think Jalen took that team from a leadership standpoint on his shoulders and led that football team. Now the addition of Saquon was tremendous and having that type of run game that they had. I just think they learned from, you know, the Super Bowl that they lost a couple years ago. And those guys were hungry. They were determined. You know, Nick did a great job of just leading that team as well. The right guys had the right guys there. And you know, obviously today is BG Day, and he was one of those guys, you know, mm-hmm. that could lead that football team. And just like he did in, 17-18 when we won the championship that year.
Yeah. And we'll get to you with BG. I want to ask you one quick thing about Jalen, because you just mentioned him. You guys drafted him back in 20. Watching Jalen develop from his early days as a rookie to you seeing where he's at now, he's been to the Super Bowl twice and now has won the Super Bowl. I'm trying to figure out the right way to phrase the question, but I know you got to be happy. I wanted to say proud, but how happy are you to watch his development at the quarterback position and what he has become since you guys saw what you saw on him back in 2020?
You know, for me, there's no surprise. There is no surprise for me that he's been able to lead that team, that organization. You know, obviously the success they've had to win a championship. It's the same things we saw and what I saw in him coming out of college, whether he was at Alabama, Oklahoma. You know, he's got a pedigree that is a winning pedigree, and he's the type of guy and type of player that's going to put in the hard work, the things you talk about as a coach. He's the one that does it. And, you know, the guys respond. The guys respond to that, and they appreciate that from him. And just watching him grow the last couple of years, and you know, again, let's just talk about Saquon and Jalen Hurts together. I mean, that's what a quarterback wants, right? A quarterback wants the running game where you don't have to put it on your shoulders to win it every game throwing the football. And that's what the Eagles did this past year. And it took a lot off of Jalen. But at the same time, when the plays needed to be made, he made them. And that's what champions do. That's what winners do. And that's who Jalen is.
Talking to former Eagles head coach Doug Peterson on BG Day. Doug, to talk to you about Brandon Graham, I want to ask you first about the player on the field, and then we can talk about what he was like, you know, as a leader off the field. On the field, what do you remember best about Brandon as a player for you?
I think the biggest thing for me as the head coach, you know, for the 5 years that I was there, was the fact that he was available every single day, meaning he showed up to work every single day, ready to practice, ready to get better, ready to lead his football team, and would do anything you'd ask him to do. If we needed somebody to play special teams, he could play special teams. That's what he did early in his career. If he had to play, you know, a three technique or a shade, he could do that. If you put him out on an end, come off the edge, he could do that. I mean, just a selfless individual, put his teammates first over himself, and that's who he is. That's the type of player you want to build an organization around. And BG epitomized that, and that's what I appreciate about him, was the fact that every single day he was the same guy, and he had a smile on his face. I mean, you guys know him. He had a smile on his face. He was, you know, joking around. He was having a good time at practice or during games, and he loved to talk. And that's who he is, and that's what I remember the most about him.
The funny thing about BG is he'll have a smile on his face even when he's mad.
Yeah,
you know, exactly, like that. Right. There will be opportunities where he is pissed off, but he's still doing it with a smile on his face. So he has figured
exactly
out the way to deliver that. It does seem too, as his career has gone on, he has taken on more and more of a leadership role, you know, not just with his contemporaries, but with young players as well. Did you see that developing in the half a decade you were here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. You know, that's the type of player that he is. He was always teaching and leading the young guys. You know, we had Josh Sweat as a young player, you know, coming in, and you know, Derek Barnett was a young player at the time, the year we won the Super Bowl, these guys like that. And just over the course of the 5 years that I was there, just watching BG really embrace these guys and lead them, and showing them what it's like to be a professional athlete, and what it takes, and, you know, the sacrifice it takes, and just a great person that way, with some of those young players that you bring onto your team, and watching his career, you know, obviously close up and then again from afar, he's the same, you know, he's the same person day in, day out.
And Doug, you got to see BG from when they drafted him. So you saw him early in his career, as you was a part of Coach Reed's staff back then. You got to see him young and develop into the player that he became when you got a chance to coach him. His maturity level and his leadership and that development from a coach's perspective, the importance of, I guess, those are some of the qualities you see in a player when you draft them, but I would imagine being able to stick with a player and believing in those qualities and traits in a guy is a little bit Yep. rewarding for a coach when you watch those things develop in him the way they did in BG. BG had some traits in him early that I'm sure the staff saw in him, but to watch him those things develop as career went on, I'm pretty sure that had to be rewarding as a coach to see.
Yeah, Ike, it was great to see as a coach. You know, you remember early back in his early days too. I mean, there were days when, you know, sometimes you wouldn't think he was going to make it, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, things were stacked against him a little bit early in his career. And you know, but here's a guy that continued to work and really, as you mentioned, mature and grow as an athlete, grow as a person, not only on the field, but off the field as well with the leadership, you know, obviously there. And then I get a chance to come back as the head coach and coach him as a head coach and just see the growth and the maturity and the level of professionalism that BG, you know, brought to the team. And you know, the 5 years that I was there, just watching that and then just continuing to watch. And then I've had, you know, when I was in Jacksonville, you know, we had two opportunities to come back and play the Eagles and to see him from the other sideline, he's the same guy, and he's battled adversity. You know, you don't get to the top, you don't win championships without adversity, and he's battled it physically and obviously mentally and emotionally and all that. But again, he's worked himself into that type of player, and so his career is what the city of Philadelphia is. It's what the Eagles organization is, and you know, he's been great at it his entire career.
Doug Peterson with us, former Eagles head coach. Let me take you back to the Super Bowl and the strip sack itself. Now, I remember the first time I was on an NFL field during the game on the sideline. I was stunned at how little you can see, like on the sideline, because you don't think, when you're watching on TV or in the stands, you see everything. But when you're on the field, everything's flat. It's very hard to see, you know, across the sideline or whatever. When the strip sack happened, did you see it? Did you just know what happened based on the result, like the reaction from everybody? What was that moment for you?
Well, initially, I didn't realize that BG had jumped inside and got over the guard. That was the first thing I did not see that. I was, you know, obviously hearing the defensive call and making sure the guys were, you know, in the right spots and all that. But then when the ball was snapped being an offensive coach, you kind of watch kind of the offensive team and how the play kind of develops against the defense. That's just where my eyes typically go. But there was a flash in the backfield, and next thing I saw, I looked back and Tom was getting hit. And it was BG that got the strip sack. He a great move on the guard and was able to get himself back there and get his hand, you know, get his hand on Tom's arm and knock that ball loose. And then Derek Barnett was able to pick it up and big turnover, and obviously, you know, helped us win that game. But huge play. I mean, huge play in that game where BG was able to use his athleticism, his strength, his power, his size at that time to really, you know, push the pocket and get an edge and eventually, you know, get the ball out of Tom's hands.
A regular debate on this show, Coach Peterson, this is very important, is what is the bigger play, the Philly special or the strip sack? Now, if I had to ask you, Doug Peterson, Coach Doug Peterson of that team, what was the bigger play?
Are those
what
the
would
only
your
two
answer
plays
be?
I get to pick?
Well, those are the only two. We're only giving you those two.
You know, I would throw in a third. I would throw in the other fourth and one at like the minus 35-yard line.
Yes, big decision, buddy.
Where we hit Ertz for a first down. We went on to score that drive and give us the lead. But you know, I honestly, the Philly special is a great play, and it's going to go down in history as one of the greatest plays in Super Bowl history, and I'm very proud of that and the way the team, you know, rallied and the way we executed. But really, I think in the biggest moment to really ice our game in that moment, you gotta look at that strip sack and what happened. You know, it led to a field goal, which put us up 8 points, and so, you know, with under 2 minutes to go in that football game. So to me, you know, as coaches, we talk to players all the time. You never know when the play is coming to you. Make the plays that come your way. And BG made a play that came his way. Now, the Philly special, those guys made a play as well. So I'd have to go BG, strip sacked, 1, and then a close 1A Philly special.
I like it.
I have the other side. I have the other side, Coach.
That's the quarterback.
I got a defensive guy sitting in the room there, so I have to go with the defense. Come on.
I like it.
Coach, just a quick question personally. You know, the NFL coach lifestyle seems absolutely excruciating to me. I mean, it's just a constant cycle of coaching and tape and preparation, and it never ends. Are you able to take this time and like breathe a little bit, like not being in that cycle for the first time in a very long time?
You know, we just came through the NFL draft, and I wanted to put on tape and watch college players and you know, this, that, and the other, but I was able to also just kind of pull away and relax and just kind of enjoy it, just look at it from afar and just watch everything kind of unfold and probably look at it more from a fan's perspective, I think, than anything else. You know, you're right. The coaching profession is not easy. You know, the hours are long during the regular season, and you put in a lot of time to try to win a football game, and then obviously coach the guys, you know, during the week and get them prepared that way as well. And you know, and the biggest thing too that I can appreciate with the teams in Philadelphia and even the teams in Jacksonville for me is that, you know, players can see through coaches, right? And I always wanted to be one of those coaches that was very honest and open and transparent and you know, roll up my sleeves and go to work with those guys. And if they can believe in that and you give them a constant message each and every day, you know, they're going to fight for you. And that team in, you know, 2017-18 to win that championship, it was a great football team that way. They fought for each other. They fought for me. They fought for that coaching staff, the organization. And much like the team this past year, you know, you could see it, you know, with that Eagles team, how they pulled for one another and played for one another and ultimately won a championship again. So it is a grind, but this time of year has been good to just step away and spend time with family and you know, enjoy our grandbabies and you know, see what comes next for myself.
Now that I think, there must have been a
grandbabies.
You're not old enough for grandbabies. Come on, man.
Well, hold on.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah.
Easy over there.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Welcome to the granddad club.
Yeah.
There you go.
Coach,
we're getting old.
Yep.
If you don't mind me asking, when Carson got hurt that year, there must have been some doubt inside of you that you guys could still achieve that ultimate goal. How do you get past that? Like, how do you move on and just say we still have a job to do?
You know, that was a tough moment for the football team. Because Carson was playing extremely well that year and was having a heck of a season, you know, and was obviously in the conversation for MVP and all that year. And I think that was like, you know, gosh, I think it was like week 12 or 13. I think we won that game in LA, and I think we went to 11-2 after that. But you know what? It's part of the. For me, why that team is so special, how they rallied around each other. And it was always, as you know, I mean, you've heard that before, it's always the next man up mentality. And the guys, you know, we lost Jason Peters that year. We lost Chris Maragos that year. We lost Darren Sproles that year. You know, Jordan Hicks that year. We lost, and then Carson Wentz. So we lost five key players that season. And still go on, you know, to win a championship. And the guys rallied around Nick Foles. Nick did a great job coming in and controlling the offense and leading the football team. But it wasn't about one guy. You know, it was about the entire football team. And we had some great leaders that year. And I think that's what makes it so special for me as the coach, being around a team that just gave of themselves, you know, for each player, and we were ultimately able to get it done.
Well, Coach, it was a great moment. I oftentimes tell the story. I was lucky enough to be at the ring ceremony because my dad made me his plus one. And after, I think it was after the rings, there was a line for ice cream and I'll never remember. I'll always remember seeing you in line, because I was in line as well for ice cream, and looking at you and saying, "That is the happiest guy in the world. He just won the Super Bowl. He's in line. He got his ring. He's in line for ice cream. What a moment!" And I don't think I've ever seen anybody happier in my life, Coach, than you were
at
that moment.
Two of my most favorite things, right? Ring and ice cream. And, I was happy that night. That's for sure.
That is for sure. Well, Coach Peterson, we appreciate you coming on today to talk about Brandon Graham and that year. And you're always a hero around here, man. So we appreciate it quite a bit.
You bet. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Coach.
There he is. Take care. Doug Peterson. It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's BG Day. We are at the Great American Pub in Phoenixville for the BG Live pre-party. Joining us now to talk about BG Super Bowl champion, Eagles head coach, Nick Sirianni. Coach Sirianni, so glad you joined us today. Thanks for giving us some of your time.
Wouldn't miss it. How y'all doing?
What's up, Coach? How's your offseason going?
How you doing?
How's the offseason been going for you?
It's been going good. It's been going good. Yeah, getting back into it with the players being back in. It's always exciting to get them back into it and just trying to find ways how we can get better.
That's what I'm talking about.
Coach, was there anything – now, you won the friggin' Super Bowl, man. Was there anything you did for yourself that said, you know what, I deserve this? Like, you know, did you go somewhere? Did you buy some little treat for yourself for winning the Super Bowl?
No, shoot, we had to get right back to work. I had a coordinator to replace Kellen Moore and then a couple guys that he took with him. So we got right back into it. So, shoot, you know, when you're at this spot and you're just thinking about all the ways you can continue to get better. And, you know, because I know this, everybody we play this year is going to be hey, if we don't protect the ball against the Philadelphia Eagles, or if we don't tackle good against the Philadelphia Eagles, if we don't break tackles against the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, it's going to be hard to beat them. So we're trying to find out ways that we can get better at tackling, and we can get better at taking the ball away, and we can get better at, you know, making yards after catch and things like that. So, you know, that's where our mindset's been from. You know, yeah, we enjoyed the parade. All right, so
there
then
you
on that, then it's just that mindset to get back to work and try to continue to do the good thing.
Well, we saw you at the parade, Coach Sirianni, and your speech, honestly, I was like, this guy means business. I like this guy. He means business. In, out, thanked everyone. It was great. So great answer.
Thank you.
So, Coach, talking about Brandon Graham today, you know, when you became head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, how important was having guys like BG in there as leaders and as veterans there to help you sort of set the culture that you wanted to set as head coach?
Yeah, you know, I think you guys have heard me talk about that an awful lot. Like, I was different than a lot. Like, I was in a different scenario than a lot of other head coaches, right? I had four guys with Brandon and with Lane and with Jason and with Fletch. Of guys that, I mean, what first-year head coach has four guys on the offense and defensive line that have played 10-plus years? And so, obviously, those guys and Brandon were just so, so important to that, you know, and they know how to win. They, you know, they know the things that it takes. So, and then to have those guys, you know, preaching what you're preaching, and, I mean, that's huge. That's huge for any coach, and just feel so appreciative to them. On those things, and man, what a great core group of guys I was able to inherit. It's just awesome, And BG's, you know, as we know, we're doing this. You guys are doing an awesome thing for him today, and the whole day devoted towards him. And couldn't say enough good things about him as we're about to here today.
I tell you, Coach, listening to you talk about the importance of having those guys as players. When you came in as coach and throughout your tenure, just it had me reflecting back on your run here as head coach. And there's been up and downs. Your first year got off to a little bit of a slow start. Then, you know, I thought you made an impassionate speech and plea about your team, talking about fertilizing and planting that soil. Now, I'm not to poke fun at it. I mean, being legit thinking about it now. Because you had veterans like Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, Jason Kelce, Lane Johnson, that I I mean, really came out in support of you and have always sort of had your back. And I think having those type of veterans sort of echo your message, I think helped us as fans and those of us on the outside sort of at least try to be patient and understanding with the type of coach that you were, because your players were clearly saying how much you meant to them. We just didn't understand it. And it's guys like Brandon that I think helped a lot of us come along to appreciating you as a head coach and what you mean to that locker room and to your players. So hearing you talk about Brandon and some of the other vets, I think it's big when a coach comes in and those veteran players are there to support him.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. And that helps with not just on the outside, who's not there every single day, right? But on the inside too, like on the inside of the building, right, with all the players, like, yeah. You know, and so it was dual important for both sides, you know, the outside world and the inside world to have the support of those guys. And, you know, again, just unbelievable people, unbelievable players, obviously. You know, there's so many times I wish people knew on the outside what good people we have too, you know, because – you know, we're in a business, you know, a results business, right? And I get that, but like, man, but you know, when you win and when you win big, it takes more than talent. It takes, and I say this about BG all the time. Like, you don't play, like, you know this. Like, you don't play in the NFL for 15 years on talent alone. That just doesn't happen,
yep.
Right? It takes all the special stuff. It takes the guys. You know, exactly the guys that we were looking for in the draft, the guys that love football, the guys that have high football IQ, the guys that are tough, the guys that are selfless, right? Those are the guys, God willing, reach their full potential. And that's exactly, you know, I've said it so many times. Like, I remember putting on tape one of my favorite – you didn't ask me this, but I'm going to say it anyway – one of my favorite BG plays, maybe my favorite BG play. You know, you got, and I get it. I wasn't here in 17, so I can't say, you know, the Super Bowl sack, right?
Yeah.
But it was a heck of a play. But my favorite BG play was in Dallas, against Dallas at home in 2023. It's a 2-point conversion. We're up 23-28, and Dak breaks the pocket. And here comes BG, who he was inside on a stunt. And
yeah.
Here comes BG flying, relentless effort on his pursuit, flying to stop Dak from scoring.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it appeared that he scored, and the referee gave him a touchdown. But he stepped out of bounds, if you guys remember, on
yep.
like the 2-yard line because of this pursuit by Brandon. And long story short, right? They get the ball back. They're driving. They need a touchdown to win, and we end up keeping them out of the end zone. Where a point they would have been able to kick the field goal had they got that 2-point conversion. And so and I you know, that's my favorite play that Brandon. You know, I could have picked many sacks that he had. I could have picked I could have picked the Super Bowl sack that he had against Tom Brady. But the one I'm thinking of is this effort play that I just explained and why. Well, one, it was a huge time, it was a big time play. But for every guy to be able to, for me to be able to put on the tape and say, and slow it down and be like, guys, you don't play 15 years in the NFL on talent alone. Watch the extra stuff that makes it happen. And for everybody to see that and for it to, you know, show up and end up helping us win a football game, like, I have no better. Like, I'm a guy who likes to show a lot of different athletes, like, doing play, making plays and why they made the play and this and that. But I got Brandon sitting right there, you know, BG sitting right there in this film session watching this, and the guys are able to see that. Like, what a great thing to be able to teach the entire team on, hey, man, this is how it's supposed to be done, and it helped us win a game. And, shoot, what a great example to all the guys and coaches and players in that room.
Coach, we've talked about BG, and so many people brought up different plays and different moments that they think.
Has anyone brought up that one yet?
No, nobody's brought that one up.
Oh, good, that was original.
Yep, that was original. And
how many guys brought up the Super Bowl sack?
Well, yeah, just about everybody.
Yeah,
that's certainly one. But I wanted to get your thoughts on coaching BG. And being around him behind the scenes, right? Not on game day. I'm talking about throughout the week, practice every day. Now, I played with a guy who I work with now in Hugh Douglas. Like, Hugh was our energy rabbit at practice. He brought all the excitement. He was the guy who had the energy every day, said stuff to keep people laughing.
This is what you did, Coach.
We're in a bar right now.
Yeah.
But I know BG off the field also had to be great for you to coach and have as a player of yours. How much are you going to miss having him out at practice every day to keep things lively and keep things going?
Yeah. I've said this, right? I've said if every company, every business, everybody needs a BG because – man, he just – one of my favorite things to kind of explain to you guys how ready he was every single day is anytime we had pads on, right? Anytime we had pads on, you know, if it was a Wednesday in the season or training camp, he's at that team meeting first thing in the morning with his pads on his lowers. He had his thigh pads in. He had his pads in. He had his knee pads in. He had his butt pad in. He had it all. I'm like, man, this guy's ready. I love this about him. He is ready to go. Like, don't be around him and not be ready to go. He's going to be ready to go. And, man, what I, you know, and that's just a quick story about that. But, like, he's always, you know, you can't have a bad day around him. Like, he's always smiling. He's always, and you know, and on top of that, he's always bringing people up. You know, he has a great sense about him of, hey, this guy's going through a hard time. Hey, this guy's, you know, going through a struggle, you know, and he talked about it, right? I've been through that struggle. Let me help you, and let me tell you what helped me when I went through that. Like, what an example. What an example that he was for the entire building in that aspect because, shoot, we all come in and have a bad day here and there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it is what it is. Hey, even football players, you guys are playing football and coaching football for a living. Yeah, I know it's awesome. But there's times that you come in, you're having a bad day, and it's just as if, you know, he never did. And I know he did, but he was able to, you know, have that smile on his face. And what a humble leader to be able to lead guys when they're going. And that's what, you know, that's what I always will remember is him going, you know, guys going through a hard time and him really trying to reach out and help those guys. But the main thing, like when you asked that question, was him coming in the morning with his pads on, and I love that. I love that about BG. He had a long time before practice would start, too, and he still had them damn pads on.
I feel like you might wear them to the event tonight. You never know. Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni with us. Coach, so, BG comes back for what this past year, for what we all felt like would be his final year, and I don't think any of us, at least from our perspective, looked ahead and said, you know, BG's going to play half the snaps. And for, you know, the first half of the year may even be the best edge on the team. Were you surprised, I guess, at how good he was this year until he had that injury?
You know, no, because, you know, I know who he is, and I know the work that he puts into it. And, no, nothing that he does on the field ever surprises me because – you know, Ike, like you said, like I get to see him every day. Like you guys get to see him on Sunday and a little bit of practice, right, when the media is out there. But I get to see him on a daily basis all day, right? And so when you got a guy that's putting in the work that he does and is the type of leader he is, and, you know, that doesn't surprise you because, you know, what you do in private is going to be seen in public, good or bad. And he always brought it every single day. And, Coach Walsh always says you got to earn the right to pass rush, right? What does that mean? That means that you got to stop the stinking run on first and second down to earn the right to pass rush. And man, does that guy earn the right to pass rush? Like the way he played, and that's what I think really sticks out to me. The way that he played this year is, man, how awesome he was against the run, right? And stop, and pushing a tight end back. That matchup never worked out for the guys when they put the tight end one-on-one with BG and he walks him back, or the guard pulls, and he crushes the edge. Like, that man earned the right to pass rush every single game. And that's what, from this season, you know, really stood out to me is the way he you know, did that. And you know, Nolan Smith, right, obviously had a great year. But when Nolan's seeing, hey, this is how this guy plays the edge every single time, and you see Nolan do it, like, you know, what a great example for us as coaches to be, hey, watch how BG sets the edge, and then boom. Hey, now look at it. Now look how Nolan's setting the edge. Like, I mean, and so that's what really sticks out to me with how he played this year 15. And shoot, man, when he, you know, sometimes, you know, obviously injuries happen in this game, and it takes a lot, you know, we're so close to these players, right? We focus so much on team. And so when a guy like BG, it gets hurt, and it takes everything for you as a coach, like in that L.A. Ram game, to not break down for him, right? And, you know, I ended up running in the locker room just to, you know, be there for him for a second. But, you know, so I know that was tough that he had to go through that. But, man, he got himself back. That's the type of guy he is.
Well, he tears the triceps, and, you know, everybody has Google, and I look up the, you know, the recovery time. And there's just, in my head, there's no way, you know, Brandon Graham is ever coming back. Did it ever sneak into your head that there would be a point at which Brandon Graham would return this season?
I knew if somebody could do it, it'd be him. That's what I will say. We tried to take everything. I know this sounds cliche, but we tried to take everything game by game, you know, day by day. But when they said, you know, and I didn't really think about it until a couple weeks into it when they said, you know, if we make it this far, you got a chance. And I know BG told me about that a couple hundred times after that. And if anybody had a chance to do it, it was going to be him. And, shoot, what an unbelievable story. And then, you know, that's the other thing. You talk to guys about being able to play through, you know, bumps and bruises that happen through, you know, you don't, as a player, right, you're never going to feel as good as you feel day one of training camp. And to be able to play through the bumps and bruises of things, like, and being able to put that tape on and go, hey, this guy had this, and now look, he's playing this many weeks later, this many months later. Like, I mean, he said he gives you so many examples to be able to show the team. And, you know, I'm hoping all the coaches over the entire country are showing Brandon Graham clips because, man, what great example he can be to all the entire youth playing football.
Well, Coach, I know it's been a short off season for you. You've been back at work. Seems like you guys are focused and getting ready for the 2025 season. I know you guys want to move past last year, but for us out here, we're still enjoying it, being two-time champions, and we haven't had the chance to congratulate you personally from this show and thank you for the job you did all year long as head coach of this football team and bringing the second Super Bowl title here, man. So congratulations, well deserved. You've had a wonderful career so far, man. We're looking forward to a bunch of great more years with you as head coach.
I appreciate that, guys. I do. You know, and you know, I know you're not asking me, but I'm going to give him my last BG. I came in with some BG stories.
Oh, yeah. Come on with it.
I'm going to give
him. Sure.
I'm going to give him. You know, the other thing that about him, like, is he always found a way to celebrate other people's success with him, right? Whether that's, you know, Sweaty getting a sack and him wiping off his brow like Sweaty does. You put on a sweaty sack, I guarantee you BG's doing that, you know, as he's talking trash to the other team. Like, so I guarantee that's happening when Sweaty, whether it's Nolan and his celebration, he was just always there for his guys to celebrate their greatness. And what gives me goosebumps to even saying this right now, and I got goosebumps because I love this stuff, is that anytime he would get a sack, you saw everybody also do celebrating his greatness and do his BG dance, which I'm doing. I know you can't see, but I'm doing it right now in my office as I sit here and think about it. But I mean, we could go on and on all day about BG, but that I always love that about him and the way he brings people together.
Well, Coach, you know what's even better than having two Super Bowls? Three. So we're looking forward to next season, man.
All right, guys. Hey,
thank you, Coach.
All right, Coach.
There he is, Coach Nick Sirianni. It happened at some point midway through last year. I don't remember when it was. I'd have to go back to the shows. But, man, I'm a Sirianni guy.
Yeah, just an awesome, awesome day. The event at night was so cool. BG Live, just seeing all the fans come out for him, seeing how touched Brandon was about all the support. Obviously, he's someone that does a lot for people, and you know he gets a lot of love back. But even though he knows it, it's one thing to see it. And it was just a really cool event. It was awesome meeting all of the real ones out there that I ran into. Always a fun time to talk to the auto downloaders, the real ones, the daily listeners. So I hope you all have a fantastic Tuesday. I hope you enjoyed listening to this pod. The dailies, keep it going. We got a pod with James later in the week. It's going to be a fun week. Even though it's a slow week, going to be a fun week. So I love you all, and I will talk to you later. He's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.